Blog Talk Radio.
This one goes out to my little homie Brandon. Told you, I got you, my man.
A lot of pressure, man. Let's go, baby. Sophisticated gorillas is on the move tonight. VA, stand up. Come on. Mama. 100 mountain running. With guns in our hand. Barbarian, heavy metal, carrying rock band. Investing in stock, man. Testing the clock, grand. My peeps got a spot on the block of my block, fam. A jar in the pot, man. Gets you a knot, man. Like ching ching. Hot damn. Cooked it like hot ham. Gotta be smart, man. Playing your part, man. Get your feelings apart. With ice over your heart, man. Hustle ain't a game. Hustle in the art, man. 50% sour. 50% smart, man. And lameness turns ain't shit sweet. Life gets cheap once plans get breached. Be your own peace, trying to treat. Acting like they get their chance to eat. The politicians, they say we valid in the street. But they the ones who put their face behind the white sheet. With holes in it. Life is a picture, baby, I posed in it. So my attitude is go get it. Cause I come from a place that's colder than a jail cell with snow in it. So I don't need your e-pill. I'm already rolling. I don't need your weed. I'm already flowing. I don't blow the white girl. I got the white girl blowing. Who needs to get used up? I'm lyrically flowing. I don't need your shine. I'm already glowing. I don't need your nine. Boy, I'm already toting. It's one last thing that you rappers should be knowing. I impregnated the game, man. She just ain't showing. My man. I'ma back off it up. Get that thing some air, yeah. Know why? Cause I swam with the sharks, ran with the bulls, flown with the frogs, just a hundred with the wolves. Swam with the sharks, ran with the bulls, flown with the frogs, just a hundred with the wolves. I done swam with the sharks, I done ran with the bulls, I done flown with the frogs, just a hundred with the wolves. I swam with the sharks, I ran with the bulls, I flown with the frogs, just a hundred with the wolves. My man, I'ma back off it up. Get that thing some air. Yeah. Get that thing some air. Yeah. Hey yo, rappers try to battle me. Snitches trying to rattle me. Snakes trying to rattle me. Pretty bitches, they tackle me. It's crazy how my faculty rap for the cause. I got the realest and illest killers in back of me, y'all. And they down for whatever. No matter the weather. Nah, this ain't run house, but we tougher than leather. Our brother walk this way. Lead you straight to the treasure. A pot of gold, but my road to the riches was cold. The devil had my dick in the dirt. Soul in the hole. I had no pussy to hurt. No money to fold. Just a little bit of fame that I claimed quickly got old. These units wasn't moving, plus no hoes in my shows. But I couldn't stop rhyming. I couldn't stop grinding. Like Jack on that beanstalk, I couldn't stop climbing. Now look at the beast boy, he can't stop shining. Now look at the beast boy, he can't stop shining. My man, I'ma back off it, though. Get that thing some air. Come on, back off it, duh. Get that thing some air. Know why? Cause I swam with the sharks, ran with the bulls, flown with the vultures and hunted with the wolves. Swam with the sharks, ran with the bulls, flown with the vultures and hunted with the wolves. My man, come on, back off it, duh. Get that thing some air. $1 million image, a bullshit gimmick. This real nigga lyrics for real niggas to mimic. For the love of money, my niggas is never timid. Pitching so hard, them boys should win a pennant. Oh, fake ass rapper, your whole style is rented. I'm the super of this hip hop thing, thing, you tenant. Political MC, after I'm presented. Cause every car I drive, yo, it's presidential tenant. Slightly weed scented with some pretty women in it. That'll be down for whatever in a PA minute. Come on, let's calm down the curses, cause the Christians got offended. Hip hop is in.
Hello, everybody. It's a Monday night, and it's 10:05. You know what time it is. It's time to sound off, and I'm your host, George Beverly, kicking it in with you. But before I do this, I got to let y'all hear this.
They had three major policies that were going to be followed. First, Lucifer says, we have to make sure that people, humans, get to believe that Satan and his angels do not really exist.
You know, Roger, that's interesting because a recent research study report that I read indicated that in a national survey, I believe it's over 75% of people mm-hmm. do not really believe in a real tangible devil. Mm-hmm. But there is one.
Oh, yeah. The next thing, the three-parts policy that they had adopted there, the second one was to find a way of being able to get total control of people's minds. And that would be done by taking hypnotism out of the realm of the occult and introduce it as a new science for the benefit of mankind. They felt that by taking hypnotism out of the realm of the occult and introducing it as a new science for the benefit of mankind, they could then use people of great renown, educators, people of capacity, that would do great things, such as supposedly regress people in time to former lives. And, of course, after the session is over, the person would not know a thing about ancient history. And the person she or he is talking about performing, you know, certain deeds, let's say, 3,000-4,000 years ago. But this was their strategy. Now, what this would do for the thing is this. That it would create in the minds of the general public, solidly, set in the mind of the general public, an unwavering trust in that great deception. So now this would be a way of de-Christianizing the Western world through the avenue of mysticism.
The three things were, number one, that they did not want Satan did not want the human family to think that he or his angels existed.
Right.
The second point that you made had to do with taking control of people's minds.
That's right.
The third point was what?
Was to destroy the Bible without burning it.
Okay.
See.
And what was the strategy on that?
On that, it was very interesting. Because after the Great General Council, it was decided that Satan would tutor Charles Darwin personally in setting up the principles of his theories of evolution. He was tutored by Lucifer himself, Father Lucifer. And at that time, it was understood, Satan and his spirit counselors understood, that if a person was led to believe in the theory of evolution, it would, in his life, destroy completely the creation week of the Bible, the fall of man, and plan of redemption. It would do away with it. Anyone that teaches a theory of evolution is considered to be a minister of the great religious system. And he said that every teacher of that theory is recognized by the spirit as a person of great value and receives a very special unction from Satan himself, giving great power to induce spiritual blindness, to convince and convert through capacity.
everybody. Thank you for everybody for coming in and tuning in and everything. So I just want to thank everybody for coming out tonight. That was by Roger Morn. He was an ex Satanist and also an occultist. And tonight's going to be real deep. But before I go into tonight's show, there's a couple things I got to get out of the way. That's advertisements. The advertisements will come like this. Let's see. There's a free, for rent, renter's rights, what you need to know before you sign a lease, Tuesday, February the 19th, which is tomorrow, from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Hub, 115 East Wichita Street. Miss Diane is the project manager, and you can reach her at 940-687-2355. That would be 948-687-2555. Also at the Hub, they are having an employment, finance, and health program. The four targets, one mission, one mission, take control. The four target areas for success for families and neighborhood development are education, income, employment, finances, and health. These are the areas that, when enhanced, have the most impact on the opportunity for the thriving communities. Let's see. On the 19th, March 19th, 4:30 to 6 p.m., wills, last wills and testaments will be given out at the Hub, also located at 115 East Wichita Street in Wichita Falls. The number for contact is area code 940-687-2355. March the 26th is early Head Start presentations. Information of the services of pregnant women and infants that we usually think of are too young or ineligible for these programs, but they are. All right. And on March the 28th, they will be having a budget class. Free taxes prep located in the Hub once again, Ms. Josie Rodriguez at the Hub. Her number is 940-687-2355. If you have any questions about taxes, they also will be having on Thursday, February 28th, financial aid event for students and parents, located in Region 9 Education Service Center, 301 Loop 11, Wichita Falls, Texas. This is a North Texas area United Way by available to help to file taxes and also available to help fill out the FAFSA. They also can fill out the TAFSA, which is the Texas application for state federal aid. Bring your W-2s. Also bring your 2012 filed taxes and a picture ID. All right. So we also are going to say this. If you like to email me, you can email me on Facebook at SoundOff Forums 97413. You also can get me at Facebook at george.mango.904. You can also Twitter me at SoundOff 94137 or call in at 347-989-1014. Madeline Chappelle it's called Better Days Publishing. She does invitations, posters, programs, obituaries, magazines, flyers, business cards. She said that the February Better Days magazine is out. You can pick them up at Davenport's, OB's, Shaw's Beauty Plus, Trez Barbershop, and you can also get a digital copy from her. If you like to email her, her email is havebetterdays.com. All one word, havebetterdays@yahoo.com. If you'd like to call her or schedule anything, her number is area code 940-923-4727. And as I always do it, we read Ephesians 6:6-13 from the King James Version. Now, not with eye servants, as man pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as the Lord, as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatsoever good that any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also in heaven, neither is there to respect the persons with you. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, dark angels, fallen angels, against powers, powerful fallen dark angels, against rulers of darkness of this world, rulers of dark fallen angels of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, fallen wicked dark angels in high places. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having all to be done to stand. Amen. So, now that we go ahead and kick this off, we are going to be talking about, we've still been talking about African-American history all this month, Mondays and Tuesdays. So, without further ado, I'm going to ask you guys to please listen in. And then the second hour, I'll let you know that you can call in and say your comments or whatever you would like. And remember, people, if you're going to call in, brothers and sisters, please call in and give respect to my listeners, my audience. A lot of people don't like profanity. A lot of people don't like using all those vulgar words. So please be respectful for that, okay? And another thing is no one is allowed to comment on the previous caller. All they're supposed to do is just make their comments. Now, if you want to make a comment to me based off of what you think, then that's totally different. Then I will comment on it. But I will not comment on whatever you call in to speak about unless you ask for my opinion. Okay? Now we know the game rules. Let's get started. So now we've been talking about African American history, and tonight we'll be talking about the Reconstruction period after the war. Okay? So when we talk about the Reconstruction period after the war, we have to know that the American Civil War was an ongoing process of the Reconstruction of the United States Constitution, passed four statutes known as the Reconstruction Act, from March the 2nd, 1867, all the way till the March 11, 1867. Okay? So this Reconstruction period is very important for everybody to know, because this is the era where Abraham Lincoln frees the slaves. But we know in Texas, which we live, Juneteenth didn't happen because it happened 2 years later. I've already did this information, so I'm not going to go back. If you like to understand where I'm coming from, I've already done it for my past shows. Please listen to those past shows. So we know that Abraham Lincoln has signed the Emancipation Proclamation at this point. Juneteenth, he sends in the army to clarify, to let the people in Texas know that, hey, slavery is over. He brought the United States Army. He had to bring the government in to let the people in Texas, the slaves, know they're free. After that, then our radical Republicans, who were former Dixiecrats, started to do their turning, okay? And as they do these turning, white supremacy comes. Now, if you're a listener of mine, you know that I am non-biased. I've been saying this from the beginning. I love all people. My intent is to educate you about what's going on and why we're in the state that we're in, okay? From my perspective, from only my perspective. I'm not saying this is golden, but I'm telling you, I think I'm spot on, but other people may not. Okay, so white supremacy is a belief or a promotion of belief that white people are superior to people of racial background. Now, let me rewind for 1 second and tell you why I'm bringing up white supremacy and I'm talking about Ku Klux Klan. There is a term that all Americans know called the manifest destiny. Manifest destiny is the belief held by Democrats in the United States of the 19th century that American settlers was detained to expand across the continent. This concept, born out of the sense of a mission to redeem the old world by highly examples generated by the potentials of the new world for building a new heaven. The phrase itself meant many different things to many different people and rejected by many people. Manifest Destiny provided the tone of a larger acquirement of the United States territories. It is used by the Democrats in 1840s to justify the war with Mexico, and also is used to divide half of Oregon with Britain, but Manifest Destiny always limped along with the internal limitations of the issues of slavery, says historian Frederick Mark. It has never been the natural priority, but in 1843, John Quincy Adams, originally a supporter who has changed the minds of the reprobators of the Manifest Destiny, brings it to mind of the expanding free states. Okay? Before I get to the three things, Manifest Destiny was already a general notion rather than a specific policy. There were never a set of principles defined what Manifest Destiny was. Ill-defined and needing felt, Manifest Destiny was considered to be expansivism along with a popular idea of the era, including American expectualism and romantic nationalism. Okay? Now, we have to understand those two words, and that's American expressionism, expectoralism, and romantic nationalism, okay? I've explained that back in the past. I won't go back to that part. But I do tell you that I need you to, if you ever get a chance, to look up John L. O. Sullivan, okay? He was the guy who pushed this whole Manifest Destiny thing in his own dialogue as far as the government and expanding west, okay? Now, there's a historian, his name was William E. Weeks. He said there's three avocations to Manifest Destiny. One is that the virtue of American people and their institutions. Two is the mission to spread these institutions, thereby redeeming and remaking the world in the image of the United States. And three is the destiny under God to make this work. That in itself, my ladies and gentlemen, brings out a strong idea of where people were thinking and how they were thinking. And this is after the Civil War. So even in the turmoil of stopping the Civil War and moving to this Reconstruction period, guess what came out of it? A lot of hatred, okay? And so it wasn't necessarily, and for my listeners, once again, this is my perspective of this. So you may think that I'm wrong, but this is what I use. I use the Bible as my guidance, and I also use the meanings of words, okay? So in these meanings of words, we already know that these people expected to make America in their own image. Who's their own image? The people who came from England, the people who were the ruling class. Now, I said before in the Reconstruction episode I did, there was, in my perception, first there's three different things. There's economic, political, and social. In the political realm, in the economic realm back then, if you had economic power, then you had political and you had social power. So if you want to break that down into classism, or classism would be in the people who had power would be the ruling class, then the middle class people would be the people working for the ruling class, and then you have the second class citizens, like your slaves, your indentured servants, your overseers, and so on and so forth. So because the Reconstruction had made a lot of people mad, the Klan arose, okay? Now, once again, this is only my perspective. When the Klan had risen, these people that are in the Klan, okay, let me get into the meat and potatoes and then I'll explain it, okay? The Ku Klux Klan, or the KKK, informally known as the Klan, is the name of the third distant past and the present far right organizations in the United States. We have advocated extreme reactionary current events such as white supremacy, white nationalism, and anti-immigration, historical expression through terrorism. Since the mid-20th century, the KKK has been anti-communism. The current manifestations is splintered into several chapters with no connections between each other. It is clarified as hate groups, anti-deterrent leagues, and Southern Poverty Law Centers. It is estimated there are 5,000 to 8,000 members in 2012. And I tell you what, you know that's an inaccurate number, because you hadn't even thrown in prejudice discrimination. You hadn't even thrown that in, okay? So the first Klan flourished in the southern United States in 1860 and died out in 1870s, okay? This is what they say. They said that it was a frequent reference to the United States of America that Anglo-Saxon blood, hence back in 18th century normalists and claimed descendants from the 18th century British colonist revolutions. Okay? So now that you have an understanding of what they feel would be white, we have to go a little deeper. Okay? We have to go a little deeper, because we need to know who is white. Okay? Now, I'm going to take you back and forth, so please stay with me, so I'm going to be laying it out for you. So please stay with me, okay? So who is white? And why is white supremacy so important? Well, they believe that in white supremacy that they want to keep the race pure, okay? And if people feel that way, they have every right to be that way. That is their belief, that is their opinion, and that's how they believe. Am I afraid of the Klan? No. When I was a kid, I was. But I'm a man of God. I don't need to be afraid of the Klan. For what? Okay? Because the thing about it is it's about fear, okay? And if you allow fear to rule your life, then you're going to be scared of everything, all right? Because Jesus told us, let me tell you what Jesus told us. Jesus told us in Psalms 103:11, King Solomon wrote this song, and he was saying it to Jesus, but Jesus, he got his wisdom from Jesus. So that's why I said Jesus, all right? So Psalms 103:11 says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, for as great is the love for those who fear him." You shouldn't fear that. You shouldn't fear anything but God. So for you to have fear is for you to be already defeated. Do you want to be defeated? Do you want to be shown as a peasant? Because that's how people think of other people who are not on their level. And I'm not talking about on a spiritual level. I'm talking about on a human level, okay? On a human level, if you don't make a certain amount of money, or if you're not in a certain class, or you're not doing this or doing that, then you are not. Listen, this is what God told me. He says, you are successful as long as you believe you are successful. And that's the motto that I live by. Why do I live by that? Because nobody else can tell you your own self-worth. And if you let other people determine your own self-worth, then you're bonded. You're enchained by the devil himself. And I played that clip for you, ladies and gentlemen, about from Roger, because it is important that you understand that not only are we living on a physical plane, but we also are living on a spiritual plane. Whether you believe that or not, God said, hey, listen, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I do not need to defend God. God defends himself every day. Okay? So, now that I put that out, I'm going to talk about convert racism. Convert racism is much less public or obvious from racism, of overt racism, which I will get to. It is hidden in the fabric of society, covertly suppressing the individuals but discriminating against them. Convert racially biased decisions are often discussed or ratified by another expression that society is more willing to accept. These racial biases cause a various of problems that work to empower the suppressors, which demonstrates the rights, which diminishes the rights and the power of the oppressed. Covert racism often works subliminally and often must be used with discrimination in being done subconsciously. George M. Fredrickson states that racism possesses a generative force more powerful than a mere class or caste self-interest alone, and is suspected of arguing that the discounts of matters in ideology, thoughts, and cultures overvalue those with instincts and habits. Others believe that racism is all its form or a part of a human psyche, feeling that the fear of those outside the group have been part of a predominated attitude deeply embedded in the human history. Now, what exactly is embedding in the human history? Well, as you know, Willie Lynch said that we need to implement his plan that will make slaves self-regenerate over and over and over again, okay? Now, you take the self-regenerating of blacks, and then you get the lower-class whites, or you get other minorities, and then because they're in a poverty-stricken level or social class, that self-regeneration, and then the top percent says, oh, see what I mean? They don't want anything. Well, let me ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. What is mankind's first priority? The first priority is self-conservation. Self-conservation is making sure that you are secure in your surroundings. So if you are secure in your surroundings, you feel safe, the next thing comes, you supporting your family. A man will do anything he needs to do to support his family. We already know women will do anything and everything they can to support their children or their families. But if there's no jobs, i.e. the Reconstruction period, first of all, the North and the South is broken up because there's turmoil everywhere. Secondly, there's no jobs. The slaves used to work the land for their slave masters, but then they're not doing that anymore, okay? The people who are successors, entrepreneurs at this point, and who are shop owners at this point, are making buku money off of both sides. And I'm talking about both sides. I'm talking about the North and the South, because only the entrepreneurs had the economic stability in order to lend, to give what they call stipends, or to give credit for those who needed food or needed shovels or needed tools, what have you. So now you've got another class rebuilding economically off of the war. And I'm not straying from the path, but I want you to understand what that causes. So now that we know that self-preservation is one of our most innate things as a human being, now you got blacks fighting for jobs, you've got whites fighting for jobs. Who's going to get the jobs? So if you say that blacks don't want to work, and they've worked for 300 years free, it's time for black people to take a break, I say. I'm just playing. But let me get back to the Klan and explain to you they're wanting to be pure, okay? This is called the one drop rule. Now, a lot of black people understand the one drop rule, and a lot of people know about the one drop rule, okay? So I'm just going to put it out there so everybody knows what's going on, okay? The one-drop rule is a historical term used in the United States for social classification as Negroes of individuals with any African ancestry, meaning any person with one drop of Negro blood was considered to be black. The principle of invisible blackness was an example of hypocrisy. The auto assignment of children of mixed unions between the different socioeconomic or ethnic groups of the groups of a lower status. The one-drop rule was not adopted as law until 20th century, the first in Tennessee in 1910 and Virginia under the Racial Integrity Act of 1924. Now, let me put this out to you because it's going to be kind of interesting. You know there's a group called Antebellum, right? Do y'all know what that word means? Antebellum? I'm going to get to that. Let me read the one drop, though. It says, despite the structure of slavery, in the Antebellum years, free people of mixed color could have up to one-eighth or one-quarter African ancestry, depending on the state, and be considered literally white. Do you see that? They considered them white. More were absorbed in the majority culture based on simple on their appearance or the association and carrying on community relationships. Responsibilities, these and cultural acceptance were the most important factors, and the person's racial status were questioned. Okay, so let me go back to this Antebellum thing. Okay, so that everybody understands what Antebellum was in this period. Okay, they're not giving me what I want. They're not giving me what I want. I'm gonna have to look up the definition. I thought I had it, but but this Antebellum period. Oh Lord Jesus. Okay, so this Antebellum period was the period that happened between what they say, 1826. Okay, so now that we understand that part. We understand that if a mulatto, which would be mixed, all right, they were looked at to be white, and most white ancestry were legally absorbed into the white majority. So if you were a brighter skinned color, then you would get into these things depending on your status and who you were, okay? Now, the interesting thing about that is that I've already talked about the Moors, and the Moors have been indoctrinated not only in Italy and Sicily and Spain and France, but also in Germany and in England. So does that mean that whites are purely white? Last week I did a series on what the United States Census Bureau considered to be white. They said that in America, 2010, you are considered white if you are from the European countries, if you are from the north part of Africa, if you're from the Middle East, and some parts of India. So isn't the northern part of Africa in Africa? Isn't Africa a continent? Isn't Africa Africa? Don't matter if you're light-skinned black or dark-skinned black, you're still black, right? Okay, I mean, I'm just asking. So the people that's here in America, they say they're Egyptian, they really classified as white. And we know that the Egyptians and the Nubians were dark. They had some light-skinned, fair-skinned Egyptians, but if you look at pharaohs on those paintings, they're light. They as dark as brown. Okay? So let me get off of that. So there's one drop rule. Now that we know, a little background about the one drop rule, I'll move on to what they call, what most people would call to self-fulfilling prophecy. Because I have to say all these things to get back to the Klan, because this is talking about the fear issue, okay? The fear and what people perceive is true, but it's really not true, okay? Self-fulfilling prophecy is a prediction that directly or indirectly calls itself to become true by the very terms of the prophecy itself, due to positive feedback between belief and behavior. Although the examples of self-prophecy can be found in literature far back as the ancient Greeks or the ancient India in the 20th century, sociologist Robert K. Martyr, who credited with the coin of the example of self-fulfilling prophecy and finalizing its structure and the consequences. The definition, he defines self-fulfilling prophecy in the following terms. When a woman falsely believes her marriage is failing, her fears of such further action causes the marriage to fail. Self-fulfilling prophecy is, in the beginning, a false definition of the situation, invoking a new behavior with making original false conceptions come true. This specific validation of the self-fulfilling prophecy percolates a region of error, for the prophet will cease the actual course of events as proof that he has the right from the very beginning. In other words, a positive or negative prophecy, strongly held belief or delusion, declares as the truth when it is actually false, may subsequently influence people to think that their reactions ultimately fulfill one's false prophecy. So if the Klan says blacks ain't no good, blacks ain't never going to be no good, they're monkeys, they can't learn, they can't compete with the white man on any level, so why are we going to make them citizens? Why? Why are we going to do that? White supremacy. Okay? Now I'm about to get in deep for y'all, okay? I gotta get in deep, because that's just the way it is. It's gotta be the truth. White supremacy is a belief or a promotion of belief that white people are superior to people other than racial backgrounds. The term is also used to describe political ideology that peculates or maintains the social, political, historical, or industrial dominations of whites. White supremacy, as with racial supremacy, is generally in the roots of ethnocentrism, or the desire of hegemony and power, and has the frequent results in violence against non-whites. The different forms of social supremacy have different concepts on who is considered white, and not all white supremacist organizations agree who is their greatest enemy. White supremacy groups can be found in countries and regions in all the significant white populations, such as North America, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Latin America, and South Africa. Now, we know that white supremacy in Africa itself, in the South African part, they call that apartheid, all right? And my brothers and sisters have superiorly became non-existent when they came. And so it was very easy to suppress the black man because they made them feel like they were aliens, okay? So why I'm going to get deep is because now I'm going to start defining some terms, okay? I'm going to start defining some terms. And these terms I'm going to put out there, and I know a lot of people are going to be like, I can't listen to this no more. But listen, it's about the truth. And it's time out for us being afraid to stand up for the truth, okay? Because if you see somebody about to stab a baby, are you going to let them stab the baby? Are you going to be strong enough and have enough courage to stand up to that person about to stab that baby? It's the same concept, people. If you are not a racist, if you're not a bigot, if you don't have any type of prejudice bones in your body, but somebody says something racial in front of you, you are just as guilty because you said nothing. Because God says if you don't stand for him, he's gonna forget you on the time of judgment, and you will not be in the book of life. So don't think just because you didn't say anything or you kind of halfway giggled or you just left the room like it didn't happen, like you're not going to be accountable for it. Because everything you say, everything you do will be in the book of life. If you don't believe me, you need to read your revelations, okay? If you don't believe in God, that's your prerogative. But this is what I say. We have to stand as human beings. People say, well, the president needs to take responsibility. The government needs to take responsibility. No, you need to take responsibility because the government is ran by the corporate elites. America is a republic corporation. America's a corporation. If you don't believe me, that's why the Federal Reserve is on Washington, D.C., which Washington, D.C. is a city-state, okay? All right? And go back and type in Jekyll Island off the coast of Georgia and find out when all the bankers got together and decided they wanted to get rid of, wanted to start a central bank. And that is one thing that the founding fathers did not want to happen. But they did it. I'm not going to go. I'm going to let you research it because I don't want you to think that I know everything or I think that I know it all. I want you to do your own research because when you know for your own self, then it's up for you to say it's right or wrong. Okay, so while people were in the Klan, they used masks and non-political crimes. State and local governments seldom acted against it. African Americans were kept out of juries. Lynch cases, all white juries, all of them never included the Ku Klux Klan, inducted in the Ku Klux Klan membership, were when there were a rare incident on the jury that were unlikely to vote for a conviction. Now, this was rampant throughout of the South. And then then the second part of the Ku Klux Klan was a film that was made in 1915 that was revealed by the Klan. This film is called The Birth of Nations. Now, this is a long film. If you've never watched it, it's on Netflix. I've watched half of it. It's a long film. It's really hard to keep the dialogue to it because there's no sound. But it is in black and white. But please, people, if you don't, if you've never seen it, you need to at least look at it so you know your history. Don't say, well, I don't want to look at that because I'm not like that. That is pulling the wool over your eyes. Just because I look at this stuff does not make me a racist. Just because I know God and I find information about the occult, I'm arming myself against the devil. It's competition. So if you are going to play, if you're going to play against a team, don't you want to scout out the team to find out what they're doing? Or are you going to show up and be like, you know what? Whatever you do, don't worry, I got you. We're going to win anyway. No, you've got to understand the tactics. That's why we spend trillions of dollars in the national defense budget, because we want to be the most powerful army in the world. So what do? We use technology like drones. Fly them overhead, right? Because they want to know what they're doing. So you can't tell me that you as a child of God or a good person don't want to know the real deal of the devil. What kind of sense does that make? So all I'm trying to do, people, is get you to understand that you need to change your mind. And another thing that you need to stop saying is, well, I'm not colorblind. Okay, last time I know, unless you're blind, you see in color. And that's another thing people have to stop saying. Because if you do not acknowledge my blackness, then you don't really acknowledge me, who I am, as my heritage. Because people in the minority role acknowledge white people because they've already got that mentality. Because Willie Lynch put that in our minds. So all I'm saying is we must love each other as human beings, but we must see color, acknowledge their heritage, and respect their heritage. That's what I'm saying. So the director was D.W. Griffin, and he made a film called The Birth of Nations to glorify the original Klan. All right? And if you ain't seen it, like I said, it's on Netflix. You can go ahead and you can look at it. Now, we know there's some terrible things that happen with the Klan, and so it's important that you understand symbols. It's important to understand when they use words, and I say they, I'm not referring to white people. I'm referring to the occult. I'm referring to the government. I'm referring to anybody who has power, and that's what I'm really talking about, people, really. The devil has power and dominion over this world, okay? So he needs henchmen to carry out his plan, because he can come in a physical form, but he needs other people. He can't have an army of demons that you can't see. They can transform themselves, but what I'm saying is he needs physical flesh to go against God. So, for example, you know all the singers, all the popular singers that were out there, who used to be gospel singers and all this stuff, and then they started singing their circular music. Not all of them, but there's a lot of them out there. And what do? They make videos with images of the devil. Why? Because it's easy to turn a person of faith, because if you're not strong in God, your faith will be turned. And it's easy, because the devil gives them the right package. All right, so the symbolism is this. It says 33/5 is a number sequence mostly used by members of various factions of the Ku Klux Klan. 33 signifies 3 times 11, 11 being the numeral number of K in the alphabet. 5 is used to represent the fifth era of the Ku Klux Klan, or today's era. These numeral symbols can be seen tattooed on a member of various racist organization affiliated with the KKK. It is also the title of the book of Robert E. Miles, in which he lays out his ideas of organization. Now, I'm going to say these organizations that are out there, and there's one in the particular. I want you to listen to these words, okay? So the Bayou Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, previous in Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana, and other areas of the Southeast. So that's our region, people. Church of America, Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, Imperial Clans of America. Okay, wait. Did you say Imperial? Yes. That's what they said. Knights of the White Camilla. Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. Okay. Let me explain to you why these names these terms are important. Okay? The reason why these terms are important is because majority of these names have affiliations founded in the Abellum colleges and college fraternities and secret societies. Okay? So, once again, I can give you this information, but it's here. So, this is the thing that really trips me out. It says the model on this embrace of the leading features of these rituals are in order to have long been popular in many colleges and universities under the various names such as the Sons of Carfifius or Cargirius. Okay? Now, I'm sorry, but the first one, the Sons of Confucius, there's one, sorry, I'm going to skip that, but I'll go ahead. But always style of the ancient, okay, now listen to this, the ancient honorable and the mere promotable, all right? So the ancient honorables are the Shriners. If you don't know who the Shriners are, you best ask somebody. You have probably heard of Shriner Hospital. I've already done a series about the Shriners. If you want to go back and listen and find it, I talk about them already. Okay. Now, there's higher levels in both of these forms. Okay. There's departments of organization, and there's these three levels. There's the empire, the realm, the dominions, and the provinces. Okay. The empire constructing the whole area of the Klan's activity. This was led by the Grand Wizard and his staff, Ten Genie, as well as the Grand Exquisitor, the Treasurer, or the Grand Syph, whom duty was to keep list of the subordinate officers, realms, while the role of realms were laid out in the first prescription, they were only identified as states in the second. States were ruled by Grand Dragons, assisted by eight Herod, what's that called? I'm so sorry. Hydra. Okay, you remember Hydra, right? Hydra is in Captain America. Okay, you remember the movie Captain America that just came out? They were called the Hydra. So now you know they were talking about the Ku Klux Klan in that movie, right? Okay, I'm just saying. Uh-huh. This is still talking about the Ram. It says these duties were identified as the above officials or the imperial level. All these officers were appointed to the Grand Dragon. Dominions identified the second prescripts are the conterminous, which sought countries as the Grand Dragon of several realms shall be assigned, not to exclude three in the number of each congressional district. The Dominion had headed by the Grand Titan. Who's the Titan? Let's see, these Greek gods, right? Hey, I'm just saying. All right. So in the Providence, the second prescription identified to the Providence to equate the county. It is supervised by a Grand Dragon, assisted by four goblins. Did you say goblins? Did you say Grand Giants? I'm just saying, people, what's in a word? That's all I'm saying. What's in a word? Because if you don't know, if you don't know what's going on, you think people are doing talking about conspiracy theories and all this stuff. This stuff is real, people. The reason why we turn our eye to it is because we are afraid. You hear me? Don't be afraid. Stand up. Now I'm about to get deeper on you. This says there's terms related to memberships or non-memberships. You can be an alien non-member. You could be a naturalization, which is the Klan initiation ceremony. You could be a citizen, which is a Klan member. You could have you could be a passport, which is a membership card, or you can be banished, expelled from the Klan, or yellow dog, a hazing ritual similar to the type of college fraternization when practiced in imperial officers called the Royal Order of the Purple Dog. Look, I'm not making this stuff up, people. Get into looking up this stuff. Stop watching TV. We need to know the facts. I'm telling you the facts. Now, we're about to get into the meats and the potatoes, okay? Here we go. Grand Cyclops, Grand Magi, Grand Turk, Grand Scribe, Alituus, the Knights of the Order of the Officers, titled of the Den, members called the Gauls, and the two ledgers of the Outside Guard and the Guard Knight Carriers. Okay? So I know you remember what a Cyclops is, right? A Cyclops is usually a person with one eye on his face, okay? And I know you know what a Magi is because it's in the Bible. And if you don't know about it, the three wise men were called Magis, okay? Just so you get a little background. So they're saying that these were kings are wizards, basically what they were, and these Turks and the scribes. As you can see, all of these words are coming from the Middle East. But yet and still, why are they using these terms about the Middle East if they don't like Arabs? Hey, look, it's very profound, I tell you. You know why it's profound? And you're probably wondering the same question that other people around the world is asking. Why are we fighting the Muslim nation? Why have we created an atmosphere of hate towards the Muslims and the Islamic world? We've got people starving in the United States. We've got people who don't have jobs in the United States. We've got so the people who are on the far right and say that people just want stuff, well, you find a way to get these people jobs. I guarantee somebody want to be out there at work. Matter of fact, I'll go to Wichita Falls shelter, homeless shelter, there's men standing on the corner waiting for somebody to pick them up for some work. So you can't tell me that nobody want to work. If you go to a homeless shelter or you go to a welfare office, there's people out there who are standing out there for work, for labor, and they will work for you dirt cheap as long as they're working. So don't tell me people are not trying to work and they're just trying to collect a free check, okay? Man, you know what? I'm about to turn it all the way live on y'all. I'm about to turn it all the way live. I've been really laying back. But now that I'm all riled up, I need to pray. Maybe I need to take an intermission and pray because y'all got me all riled up right now. I had these gentlemen call in about you know, black people and all this, okay? So let me tell you about Oregon, okay? Let me tell you about Eugene, Oregon. Eugene, Oregon, all right? There's a guy named Frederick Dunn. He is a University of Oregon alumni who was part of the Klan, all right? He was exalted to Cyclops. We already talked about Cyclops. He was already exalted to Cyclops Dunn. Okay, he was a football coach. He was a graduate manager. He had several alumni, and he had members of the business. He was a Klan member with businesses that catered to his students. Okay? He was exalted, like I said, Cyclops, and he was the head of the University of Oregon's Department of Latin. Latin Department. He was a Cyclops of the city, of the head of the city and of the town. He was a Grand Dragon of the state. He was anti-Catholic. Locally, he opposed Mercy Hospitals, later known as Sacred Heart, under the Newman Center for the University of Oregon. These people don't know who they're dealing with. They think all these people are friendly to them, but the reality is that covert racism, the one you don't know about. They laugh in your face and talk behind your back. That is what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. I just want to enlighten you. I'm not mad. I'm not upset. I am just trying to nearly give you the facts. There was a document in September 30, 1922, called Dance with the Invisible Empire. Bring your invitations and get your programs. Room 6, Foster Building. The KKK sent out a letter. This is Oregon now. This is not the Deep South. This is Eugene, Oregon. Come on, people. Are you listening to me? Do you understand where I'm coming from? We were felt to be made inferior because of certain things of somebody else's fear. But now that we have embraced freedom, entrepreneurship, understanding, we have to know that only through Christ Jesus can we overcome this. And I've said this before. We must stand in the lion's den. We must stand and say, God will deliver us from these lions, because I did nothing wrong to these people. Let me make reference to who the Magi are, okay? Because it's important that you understand this. They said, this is what they said. I give you the website if you want it. Okay? You've got the Grand Cyclops, you got the Grand Magi, you got the Grand Turk, the Grand Scribe. All right? You got the Ludiker, and then you got the Nighthawk. Okay? So let me tell you who the Magi is. Because it's gonna open your eyes. I want you to see, people, that I'm not making this stuff up. It's important that you understand this stuff, okay? Now, the word Magi is a Latin word, but it's plural. It's called Magles in Latin, and in ancient Greek, I can't pronounce that word because it's written in Greek, but it means old. It's old Persian, all right? And in English, it's a singular noun. The term is used simply at least the 6th century B.C. to denote the following of the Gnosticism and the Zoroasters. The earlier known uses of the word Magi is a triolateral inscription written by Darius the Great. Okay? We know about Darius the Great. Who is Darius the Great, might you ask? For those Bible scholars who know who he is, and for those who don't know who he is, he was the same king that loved Jesus Christ because of Daniel. Okay? I just want you to know that. But the Magi, here we go. The Magi itself was used for the use of gods, okay? And within the use of gods, they worshipped these gods, these deities. And these are who the Magi were in the Persian community and also in the Greek community. Now, I can give you a, I'm going to give you this site so you can see it. And I want you, ladies and gentlemen, who love that Greek and Roman stuff, there's a movie called Alexander the Great. There's a movie called Alexander the Great. And when, at the end of the movie, they're fanning him with this symbol. I only want you to look at that symbol that they have. And they're fanning the symbol. Now, at the top of the link, there is a Zoroastrianism. I need you to look that one up because we have to talk about that, okay? But I want you to understand that in different cultures, the Magi or the Magi, right, were part of this, okay? Now, in the Christian tradition, the word Magi, Greek, appears in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Occasionally, the word translates into magician, huh, in the sense of illusionists or fortune tellers, okay? I'm not making this up. This is what they're saying. Why is that important, George? I want you to scroll all the way down to the bottom. They said Hermetic Orders of the Golden Dawn. What is that, you may ask me, George? I read about that earlier in the early series about the occult. It said it is used by the title of the Magius to refer to the second highest level of attainment in their degree system. The system was associate titles were later adopted by Aleister Crowley for his occult order AA, wherein the Magus also designated the second highest attainability grade of magic. To be a Magi means to journey with gifts. Okay. Now, I'm about to turn it out for you, my brothers and sisters. What is that all the time George Beverly Jr. want to be a conspiracist? Why is he always bringing up the devil? Why is he always bringing up stuff about this stuff? Because if you got a word that says Cyclops, meaning the one eye, which represents the Eye of Horus or the Eye of Ra, that's one. And you got another name saying that you were the Grand Magi, which we know now as the Grand Magician or the Illusionist or the Fairy Teller, and it's biblical. I tell you people, I only get my sources if it's from the Bible. That's how I roll. Anybody can tell me anything they want, but that's how I roll. And so now I've made the connection with the occult because Aleister Crowley. Let me find this for you because I want y'all to look for it yourself and see the influence this man has had on pop culture. And I will be doing a series on pop culture for people who don't understand what I'm talking about. I will be doing a series because it is so important that you understand these words and how they use these words to bamboozle us, but we don't know what the word really means. Huh? But we think we're smart because we got PhDs and bachelor's degrees and all this stuff. I don't have none of that. But what I do have is Jesus, and Jesus will give me everything that I need to be successful. All right? Let me give you this Alabaster Crowley thing because if you don't know about Alabaster Crowley, he was the one who influenced Hitler. He was the one who influenced the Beatles. If you don't know about him and the Beatles, you look at the Beatles cover, Sgt. Pepper, and tell me that he's not on there. Because I seen them for my own two eyes. My own two eyes. I want you to take your time when you have time and read about it. Because I'm not making this stuff up. Now, look, I'm gonna simmer down. This is the time. If you would like to call in, make a comment, feel free to do it. If you want to call in, the number is 347-989-1014. If you'd like to call in, I say again, the number is 347-989-1014. If you'd like to make a comment in the chat room, please do so. I will not comment on it unless you ask me to comment on it. But if you just want me to read it, then that's fine too. All right? So I'm going to go ahead and throttle down because I just wanted y'all to see the relationship of where I'm coming from. Okay? I want y'all to see the relationship of where I get my sources from. There's a whole lot of stuff that I still got to talk about. But I'm going to cut it short because we're running out of time for comments. If you would like to make a comment and you signed in as a guest, you have to sign in on a name, log in with whatever name you want it, sign in, and then you'll be able to chat in the chat room. Because for some reason the chat room does not let you chat unless you're signed in for some reason. I'd like to thank everybody who's been listening to me, who's been hanging in there with me. I'd like to thank all my listeners who are not in the chat room. I'd like to thank all my listeners who will tune in. But while I'm waiting, I just want to clarify a couple of things. You know what? Listen, I'm gonna go ahead and hit the nail with the hammer right now, because that man really, that's why I have to pray, because he really gets under my skin. Okay, now this is what I know. I'm using Wikipedia, and you say, well, Wikipedia is not a reliable source. Well, it's got everything I need to say on it. That's all I'm saying, okay? And then I do my research off of Wikipedia, and I find out the truth, and Wikipedia lining up for what I need to say. Okay, so Crowley has remained an influence figure and is widely thought as the most influential occultist of all times. In 2002, a BC poll describes him as being the 73rd greatest Briton of all time. References to him being found in works of numerous writers, musicians, filmmakers, and he has also been seized as the key influence on many later ethnical groups and individuals, including Keith Grant, Keith Anger, Jack Parsons, Gerard Gardner, Robert Alton Williams, Tony Later, the Rolling Stones, Jay-Z, and some degree of Austin Salmon Pierce. You said, George, did you say Jay-Z? I did say Jay-Z. What does this occultist have to do with Jay-Z, you ask? Okay. Well, let me read you this one. In 1903, Crowley wedded Rose Edith Kelly, the sister of his friend, the painter Gerard Philtus Kelly, in a marriage of consequence. However, soon after that, the marriage, Crowley actually fell in love with her and set about the serious probe of her of his affection. Gerard Kelly was a good friend with W. Somerset Maugham, who, after briefly beating Crowley, would later use him as a model for the protagonist of the novel *The Magician*, published in 1808. Now, here we go about *The Magician*. So, you telling me that the Klan is not involved in witchcraft? I mean, you say I'm reaching, I'm stretching. No, I'm not stretching, because these people are all involved, and that's what you have to understand. They're all involved in the same plot. They may have different factions, or they may have different beliefs. It's just like inventors. You know, there's tons of inventors out there who want to make the best product. They don't all have the same background or idea of what they make. They got different ideas to get to the same goal. That's the exact way that the occult rules. And if you don't know who are in the occult, you need to start looking at people who uses those type of things. And I'm not trying to turn this into an occult session, but now I'm about to get to the meat and the potatoes of really what I want to talk about. Even though slavery was ordained by God, and the Ku Klux Klan was horrible, I have come to this question to myself. Was they really killing black people because they didn't like them? I believe it. But I also believe they needed to make human sacrifices. Now, bear with me. I know you're going to think I'm falling off the wagon right now. But my brother Charles said, in all the getting, get understanding, knowledge, man of God, what is up with the Illuminati stuff? A lot of great people are spooking them out. Well, they need to be spooked out. This is why they need to be spooked out. The same things I've told you, I've told my listeners time and time again, that the way that the society is built up is we're built up to a visual thing. We are constantly looking at TV. We're constantly looking at movies. We're constantly – now, my brother, let me tell you, you can watch TV right now, and there's three shows about the devil coming to the screen near you soon. We got The Exodus. We got another crazy thing with a lady with a head popping back. Another movie coming out with another woman walking through the TV. You telling me that that's not Satan? Human sacrifice is real, people. What did they do to the witches? They burned them on the stake. What is sacrifice? If you look at the Old Testament, before Jesus came and released his blood, they were doing sacrifices. Sometimes the evil people would do human sacrifices. Now, let me tell you how I know this. Do you remember the story about Lot and the angels of Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, when the angels came to Lot's house, he begged them to come inside because he knew the people were wicked. And they banged on Lot's door to get those people out there because they said, he's coming to sojourn here, or coming to live. They're coming here to live. Then we need to know who they are, okay? Aaron was so afraid, he said, please take my daughters, but do not mess with these men. They was going to take those people, and they was going to take those angels. They was going to torture them and beat them and put them on a stake or whatever they do, all right? They often had burnt offerings. They also had blood offerings. So if you go and you look at lynching, that's right, because it's true. I mean, if you look at Jesus Christ, in the sense it is a ceremonial thing that happened. Why do you say it's a ceremony? Because Jesus, when he gave the first breaking of the bread and drinking of the wine, he says the first communion, he says, "This is my body. This is the blood that you drink." So when they pierced him in the side, he spilt his blood. When they hung him up there, they was getting more blood. So it's a sacrifice. But God said, no more sacrificing for you because we got the blood of Jesus. You don't need to sacrifice for me no more. I don't need no more burnt offerings. I don't need no more sacrifice, because my only begotten son has laid down the law and broke the veil. This is the truth. Now, you as disciples, go out. I command thee, go out. You have the power. He has given them the commission. Go out. Okay? So now when we're talking about sacrifices, when we're talking about lynching and hanging and burning, you see all these white people, because they were, I'm just saying what the facts were, they were there, they would have picnics. They would hang people for picnics. Just like, okay, we'll have a picnic, and for the main event, we're going to hang a nigger. Hey, it's the truth. It happened, okay? So the second part to that is the occult, the Illuminati. If you look at Taco Bell's sign, it has an eye on it. If you look at Shell gas station, it has a shell. The shell represents the sun. Who's the sun? The sun is the sun god of Ra. Who is Ra? Ra is the eye of Horus. Who is Eye of Horus? He is the representation that's on our dollar bill with the all-seeing eye on top of the pyramid. I want you to understand, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. You understand what I'm saying now? We are on a physical and a spiritual plane. Am I mad at the Ku Klux Klan? No. They doing whatever they got to do. We as Christians got to do what we got to do and stop playing around with God and be strong and stand up and destroy evil. Now, we know that the devil's got his reign. The prophecy's got to be fulfilled. But just like you said, just like people say, well, God's not here right now. God's here. You ain't listening to him. We got to be firm and stand. We got to have good morals. For those people who are going to listen or who are listening right now, if you are a good person and you don't believe in God, that's fine. That ain't got nothing to do with you. I'm going to love you regardless. Only thing I got to do is pray for you. Because the second thing that I'm supposed to know is that I need to pray for my enemies and for myself and the loved ones. I must love myself as I would love my neighbor. That's right. They are. Symbols are powerful image that Satan used to kill, steal, and destroy the children. For example, if you watch Nickelodeon or you watch Disney Channel, the Disney Channel, if you look at Disney, they've got 666 in it. Did you know that? I want you to go and Google Walt Disney right now and try to find the sixes. If you don't know, please call me, email me, so I can send you a picture. It got 666 in the word of Disney. So you can't tell me the devil ain't using deception and symbols to destroy us. You, like I said, you look at Taco Bell, there's an eye in it. ABC or NBC, ABC is the moon. NBC is the shell. It looks like a turkey, but it's a shell. All right, that represents the sun. Holiday Inn. It's got a sun. So what I'm saying is this: some of these people worship the sun. It's the word Walt Disney. Thank you very much, baby. Some people worship the sun. Some people worship anything. Now, like I said, I'm not going to talk about the occult. But the interesting is this: I'm going to post a writing that CeeLo wrote when he came out of the grips of God. I mean, excuse me, the grips of the devil. You see, CeeLo didn't grow. CeeLo's first name was CeeLo Green when he joined Goody Mob. But then he came out and he changed his name to y'all know who I'm talking about. He came out with a song called Crazy, all right? And the reason why he came out with the song Crazy is because you got to listen to his words, okay? So let me play you this song by CeeLo, and then I'm gonna post it in the group. I'm gonna post the lyrics in the group for y'all, because I want you to understand when I'm talking about slavery, okay? I want you to understand when I'm talking about slavery. And I got 28 minutes, and I should keep this in my file, but I didn't. I'm gonna start posting. I'm gonna start posting the words of CeeLo Green, because this is not the CeeLo Crazy song. This is a song that he was on TV. I mean, excuse me, he was on the radio. He was on the radio, and he was on the radio, and he was saying that he was doing a poem. Okay, so. And this is his words. This is not mine now. This is his words, not mine. So you can't say, oh, George, you're making this up, because it's not me. This is not my words. Ugh. Come on. I apologize. I got it uploaded. I'm just trying to get this thing right, because it's CeeLo is a good artist, but did you notice the reason why he's on he all of a sudden started being in commercials and he started singing and he's on all these different things. When the media say these actors and these singers are going crazy, the reason why they're going crazy is because they are part of the Illuminati, and that the Illuminati tells them they need certain things to do, and they must die just like Christ. They must die in order for them to receive the riches of the devil. So let me play you this CeeLo. That's too many words, so I got to. It's going to take a little bit. Because he breaks it down. Now, I saw this, and I was like, oh, man, CeeLo was doing it. Oh, this is great. But then I started listening to it. The first few words in his song start talking about the devil. The first few words, he started talking about the devil. You know what? What I'm gonna do is because this is gonna take too long. I'm gonna go ahead and play the video, but I will post it on Facebook right now. I will post it on Facebook right now so you can hear it and read it.
As we know, we got policies here, man. Anytime MC set to the mic, you gotta catch record for the Raph, DJ Revolution, Carmelita, Sway of Team Tech, and the Raph is coming down hard in the new millennium. See, though, you ain't been here yet.
I know something.
You forgot, you know. You ready?
Can I do a few sports or something?
Yeah.
Turn my mic on.
Turn your mic on.
Hello.
Can you hear?
Yeah. In the beginning, there was none other than the original people, skin blacker from the sun. But somewhere along the line, I broke the laws of the divine, and a curse placed on the soul of mine. Hell became the color on my face, feeling out of place amongst the people of my race. Filled with hate, I moved to a colder climate, intercourse with animals and raw flesh with apes. Filth and disease, sub-zero degrees, the Satan's blood in my veins didn't freeze. The hatred that I have for you, it runs deeper than your skin. I hate the one who put me in this position that I'm in, until I realize the powers of evil. Anything I have to do, I will. I steal, kill, and destroy. Went home to Africa looking for slaves to employ. Blue eyes, and a smile was my only decoy. Set you up from your roots. What good is the spirit when I have this new invention that you brought you here and deceived you? I change and rearrange everything that you have ever believed true. My soul is cold as ice is. I sold you for prices. You were hung from trees for sacrifices. But through the blood, sweat, tears, and pain, God's spirit in y'all still remains. Which is actually more than I got. But I have a mansion and a yacht. The plot is making you think that it's about what it's not. With precision, I tell you lies through television. Distort your religion, wrap you up in materialism. done. How could you kill your own? Don't you see, you're learning to act just like me. But be more aware that the truth is there. I tell you all the time, but you even don't care. But not all of you. There are a few that get into themselves and books on shelves and learn something new. And once they know, they become so powerful. But many don't have the means nor the inspiration to go to school. And I know they hate it, but you can't get a decent job unless you're properly educated. But educated about what? It seems to me that thus far, you've only learned about who we are. Isn't that funny? You'll give a school all your money for what you think you need, but it's never guaranteed. The misled mislead you. Your faith has been broken, provoking you to do whatever will feed you. Well, I thought you some cooked cocaine and plain plastic sacks to sell to your fellow blacks. But why the foundation of your people cracked? You try to resist, but I won't stop until you don't exist. Strong though, I give you that. But you must be stupid as hell to be that strong and still be where you at. And you still don't have a clue. I am who I am because of love like you.
Yeah.
I, you know.
Damn.
Piece of poetry.
Wow.
I try not to rhyme, man, but I try to have a point, so I did do something with me.
Oh, you had a point.
Yeah. That might go down. He got another one. I'm sure he does.
So
that might,
you let him go with this?
No, me, Chuck. I don't. That may be one of the most profound verses that we've ever had in the history of our show.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you to think about that. I really do. I want you to think about that. When you re-look at it, you probably got to re-listen to it and read the lyrics for yourself. If you would like to go and find it, it's CeeLo Green Poetry or CeeLo Green on matter of fact, I posted it on my Sound Off page. But if you can't find it, please, and you want to see it, that's it in a nutshell. Let's see. I posted the one that says, "I still got a mansion and a yacht." See here. Okay, so I think this is it right here that I have enough to. And look, people, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry I don't want to call you people, but I just want to make this perfectly clear. You should not fear anything but Christ. Now, where are we going to go in the future? That's the second. We talked about the Klan. We talked about fear. We talked about all these different things. Where do we go in the future? We must stop being afraid of doing what's right. So if you think that you are, and I said that you think, I'm not saying that you're not. I just simply said that you think you are. It's your perception of who you think you are. You can't let nobody else tell you who you are because only you know who you are and God only knows who you are. Okay? So that's how I look at things. You must say to yourself, I'm a good person. I don't believe in God. But let me tell you, the fruits of the Spirit, all right? The fruits of the Spirit will take you to where you need to go. Let's see here. And that is my bad because I don't have it memorized, and I apologize. I can't be a scholar if I don't even remember. My mind is gone. Jesus, please, Holy Spirit, help me out. All right, here we go. So the fruits of the Spirit, this is Galatians 5:22-23, is love, joy, peace, forbearing, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay? The reason why I bring this up to my audience is this, is because you have the fruits of your spirit in you already. You weren't born or taught that way. God created you before you were even a thought or twinkling in your mother and father's eye. So when you come out, you have all of those fruits. Your upbringing, your behavior, as the description says about racism, is a belief or behavior that causes you to have self-fulfilling prophecy about yourself and about others. So let's use the Willie Lynch letter, for example. He said if this was implemented correctly, it would affect us maybe 300 years or more, even thousands. And he said that would be self-regenerating. So we look at self-fulfilling prophecy as this. We are black people. We can't make it because a white man puts us down. Thus, we cannot be successful. That's what you hear a lot of people say. But on the other side of the coin, you hear people say, well, that's not true because anybody can be successful and make it. Now, let me tell you my two sides, my perspective. This is my perspective. I believe there is two sides of the coin. There's a side of the coin that's overt and a side of the coin that's covert. You can make it if you work hard and you do the things that you need to do in order to get a good education, because without education, there is no stepping stone. Then people network and get connections, okay? Once you network, remember this. Please remember who you are. And when I say please remember who you are, this is the covert self-fulfilling prophecy of the Willie Lynch. Remember who you are as a person. You are first a black man or a black woman with a strong heritage. You are a white male or female with a strong heritage. You are a Hispanic or Latino with a strong heritage. You are a Chinese, Korean, Vietnamese, Lebanese, Filipino, Brazilian. You people are strong people with strong heritages. So remember who you are. Do not give that up and do not succumb to institutional racism. Because if you become institutionalized, I consider yourself assimilating to the program. What's assimilating to the program, ladies and gentlemen? If you have listened to my series about the Matrix, Neo sticks his finger into the mirror, which he is naturally in a dream state, and he thinks that he is merging with the mirror. But no, he's not merging with the mirror. He is nearly transferring his energy, and he's transforming or assimilating into the Matrix. What is the Matrix? It is the mainframe of the computer world. What's the mainframe of the computer world? Planet Earth. We're all plugged in until you get awakening. When you get baptized with the Holy Ghost and filled with the Spirit, booyah, guess what? You've been cut from the Matrix. The veil has been lifted from your eyes. You can still be enlightened. You can still be enlightened, but the reason why you are enlightened because God allowed you to be enlightened. Now, you can't say that God don't have that power, because I told you about Nebuchadnezzar, which Nebuchadnezzar is the ship in which Morpheus is the captain of, and Morpheus is the god of dreams. Hold up, George, did you just say that? Yes. Morpheus is the god of dreams, which that's why when they go into reality, Morpheus has to always be with them because he controls the dreams. That's why he's looking for Neo, or the one they call him. All right? So, not to get on the Matrix kid, but you must not assimilate to what you feel is the superior culture, because they hold the key to your success. You have a right to speak with some slang in your voice. Why? Because you're African. Hip hop comes from the African culture. A lot of people don't think that's professional, but who defines what's professional? Tell me who defined who's professional. The people who are in charge. So the people who are in charge from the very beginning of the start, before we were allowed to be citizens, telling us who we are and who we're not are, and then we've got black people who are billionaires and millionaires acting just like white people and discriminating against black people because of economic and political plight. We need to rewind this. You cannot discriminate against your own people because of economic or social discrimination, because that's the same thing that Willie Lynch was trying to do. You put the rich man against the old rich nigga. You put the old rich nigga against the old rich nigga. You put the old nigga against the younger nigga. You put the female nigga against the black nigga. Now, I'm using some strong words, but I want you to understand the concept. Because when black people, we got a right to agree and disagree. We got the right to be, I say black people can never be Republicans. That's just my way of thinking. Hey, it's just the truth, as a matter of fact. I don't think black people should be Democrats either. I think we should be liberal. I think we should have our own black party. Why can't we have our own black party? Why can't the Mexicans have their own Mexican party? Why do we have to fit in the cookie cutter shape? Why? Because we have what they call the dominant structure in our society, and we have led the independents out of the road so that the independents cannot even function. When you spend close to $300 billion on a campaign, when that $300 could be used to build jobs, to build houses for homeless people, to give food to the homeless, to give homeless the people shoes, to help women get away from abuse, to help kids get away from abuse, then you tell me where our priorities are. And I would say shame on you for donating your money when your money should be going to your local, you hear what I'm saying now, it should go to your local organizations who deadly need your support. Why are we going to give it to the federal government when people say, well, I don't want big government? If you don't want big government, then why do you support billions and billions of dollars over some campaign stuff? That's not important. People need jobs. People need love. People need to know that we as human beings are being taken care of because we are loving creatures. We need to be taken care of. It's not black people's fault, and I say this, and I'll continue to say this. Every person's or race that's been wrongly placed or wrongly did by any nation, and I'm going to say it because a lot of people are scared to say it, but I'm not scared to say it. What am I scared for? Everybody got opinions, so I'm going to say mine, and this is my show, so I can say it. So I believe, this is my belief, my perspective, I believe that black people should get reparations. Why do you say that, George? Because President Abraham Lincoln, before he died, General gave an order, executive order, that wherever they were in South Carolina, North Carolina, I'm not sure which one, has the right to give 40 acres and a mule to those people in that province. Okay? So he didn't mean it for the whole slave, but let me ask you a question. What did black people have after Reconstruction? They say, okay, you're free. So that's like you having a dog or a cat and saying, all right, I don't want this dog no more. Hey, dog, you're free. Now, the dog and the cat are going to be like, what in the world are we going to get some food and shelter? What? The dog and the cat needs to go fend for themselves because they are animals of instinct. They will go survive. Black people come from Africa. Now, generations after generation after generation removed, I know they don't come from Africa, but what do they do if the only thing they knew was to pick cotton and take orders from their master? They don't have any type of self-identity. They think they do, but they don't. Let me say this to you. If you want the link, I can give it to you. They says, histories of reparation payment. 1990, the United States paid $1.6 billion or two to each Japanese American, $2,000 each in 1990. Okay? In 1990, the Austrians paid $25 million to the Holocaust survivors of the Jewish claims in Austria, right? In 1988, Canada gave 250,000 square miles of land to the Indians and the Inuits. If you don't know, you know what Inuits are, that is the Eskimos, okay? 1988, the Canadians gave the Japanese Canadians $230 million. In 1986, the United States government gave $300 million to the Ottawa of Michigan, which is $1,839 for the treaty. In 1985, the United States gave $31 million to the Chippewa of Wisconsin. In 1985, the United States gave $12.3 million to the Seminoles of Florida. In 1985, the United States gave $150 million to the Sioux of South Dakota. In 1980, the United States gave $81 million to the Klamath in Oregon. And in 1971, the United States gave 1 billion plus 44 trillion acres of land to the native the Inuits are the Alaskan natives of that land settlement. And then in 1952, the Germans gave $822 million to the German Jewish Holocaust survivor settlement. And in 1865 to present, the United States has given African-American descendants $0 after slavery in the Jim Crow era. Now, if you don't agree with that, I'm giving you straight facts. Now, I'm talking about where do we go from here? We got to get rid of this overt, covert actions, okay? If you are a man or a woman of God, if you are a good person and you're a good man or good woman, stand up for racism. Don't be colorblind. See color. Say, this African American or this black person right here is a good person. You shouldn't talk about their race. You should not let somebody talk about or call anybody an epithet if you are another race. And I know you're going to say, well, George, black people call themselves. Why are you worried about what's going on in the black community? If it's negative, you worry about it. But what about the support? People always worried about what the black people are doing that's negative. They're not talking about stuff like the Tuskegee experiment when the United States government was giving African Americans syphilis. If you don't believe me, the American Health Department, and I think it was during the Tuskegee time, I think it was like 1960, something like that. Look it up for me. I don't know. I don't have the exact date. But what I'm saying is the United States Department was doing experiments giving black people syphilis. And then in 1994, they gave their family members certificates saying, thank you for serving your country. That's disrespectful. And if you think I'm lying, you do your research and look it up. That's the Tuskegee experiment. Okay? Now, you telling me black people don't deserve something? I mean, come on. Black people need to just grab themselves by the roots and stuff. You know what? If black people can get loans like Asian Americans and other Americans, then we wouldn't be having a problem. But it's the redlining, the institution is being covert racist and not allowing people to get that. Now, if God ordains that black person get that business, praise God. But all I'm saying is, people, is we need to stand up for each other. And I read the preamble to y'all before. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in the Declaration of Independence. I am as patriotic as it gets. I served my country for 15 years. Even though when I was assimilated, they said that my brothers who died gave the ultimate sacrifice. There's only one man that I know who gave the ultimate sacrifice, and his name is Jesus Christ. So we're telling our brothers in arms and our sisters in arms that they are just a body count because there's war. There was war, weapons of mass destruction. Mass destruction, right? Weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. There's weapon of mass destruction in Afghanistan. But we didn't get to Afghanistan until after we did Iraq. So you tell me what we really doing. And you're mad at President Obama? Okay, well, fine. I don't like President Obama's policies. But I tell you, this is what I say about President Obama. I say this all the time on my show. I am glad there's a black person in the presidency. I do not like the fact that he does not promote that he is a strong, educated, black man with a beautiful black wife and two beautiful black kids. Did you know that they passed a law that allowed presidents not to have protection anymore after their children have turned 18, and that if they remarry, if their wife dies? Why are they doing that now? So you telling me once Obama is once Obama's a president and his last little baby graduates, you telling me that no longer shall he get protection? Okay, I may not like that part. I may not like some of his policies because the same people he bailed out should be the same people putting money back into the economy. But they didn't do that. They put it in their pockets. And none of them were sent to court. So I don't want nobody on the right screaming and hollering upside down that President Obama is ruining our nation. President Obama don't control this nation. He's being controlled by the 1%, the people who really got money. Why is it that every president that is elected is kin? Why is every president that is elected to the United States office is kin? Did you know Obama's kin to every president except Warren Buren? That's the only president he's not kin to. There's just one. This little girl and her grandfather did it over the summer. So if you think I'm lying, please, ladies and gentlemen, look this up. I thank you for your time. I thank you for being patient with me. I thank you for your comments. I thank you for listening in. For those people who are going to tune in tomorrow, we've got a phenomenal speaker. He's a local Wichita Falls local. His name is Larry Nash, and he will be giving us history on the Black Wall Street and the and also the Tulsa, Oklahoma riots. I'm talking about a plethora of knowledge, okay? This is African American History Month. I hope that people, please don't take my word for it. Put down the newspapers, put down the TV remote. Don't see what the media gives you because they only give you half truths. And I say you tell you this, if you can get Al Jazeera TV, please get it so you can have a different perspective about the Arabic world, about Islamic people. Did you know Mecca was the second most powerful force on this planet? They use the energy of prayer and they walk in a circle. And that circle goes up into the air because they walk counterclockwise. Is it counterclockwise? And it goes up. I mean, they walk clockwise, I'm sorry. But it goes up into the air rather than going down. There's a lot of physiology, sociology, astronomy. The astrologers in the Bible, and the magicians, the Chaldeans, you need to look that up. I got 0 minutes left. Y'all have a great night. It was great hanging with you guys. I love to hear comments on my Facebook page. But next time I see you or hear you, you should be calling on the show, typing in anything, and saying, I'm here to sound off.